This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War. Welcome to the Invisible War radio broadcast. Today, we're talking about the power of prayer. You're not going to want to miss a minute of it. This is Kevin Harris. Today, our host and teacher of the Invisible War, Dr. Rob Randall, will discuss the power of prayer. And I want to remind everyone that Dr. Randall's teaching on spiritual warfare is taken from his book, The Invisible War, Living in Victory Over the Enemy, published by 21st Century Press, and you can get your copy of this most valuable Bible study on spiritual warfare by going to our website, theinvisiblewar.org, or you can order your copy at most any bookstore near you. Now, if you've missed any of our programs, you can go to our website and download them for free. So you can catch up, you can review, you can hear any program that you missed on the Invisible War radio broadcast. Dr. Randall, welcome back to the studio. And last week was a powerful program. We talked about the power of prayer, how prayer changes things. Today, we're going to look at what Jesus had to say about prayer. So I'm going to encourage everyone not to go anywhere. But recap for us what we discussed last time.
The greatest need today in our lives, in our homes, in our churches, is a time of personal cleansing and revival. The problem is we have tried to seek this cleansing without prayer. We've tried to build our churches without prayer. We have attempted to change our worship styles, to build certain kinds of structures, to change our programs, but without prayer. Now, the reason why I say that is I'm a churchman, and I want to tell you, you can call for a prayer meeting, and you might get a few folks the first time. But the second time it comes around, there's not many folks at the prayer meeting. We're trying to do the kingdom of God's work without the power of God. The power of God comes through prayer. History reveals that. Church history tells us that. And our own family history tells us that the people that prayed and sought the Lord with all their heart were people of prayer, had the greatest power before God. So today, we come again to study this whole matter of the power of prayer. I want us to look at what Jesus had to say about prayer. So everyone get your Bible. If you can, join with us as we study the Word of Almighty God concerning this most important matter, this foundational matter of personal prayer.
Dr. Randall, let's look then at what Jesus had to say about prayer. We have several points, so let's look at what Jesus had to say about prayer.
In Matthew 6, verse 1 through 15, we find what Jesus had to say about prayer. They asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And this is what he said. He talks, first of all, about the motivation of prayer. In verse 1 through 5, he talks about the intent of our heart when we do pray. Why do you pray when you pray? When we pray that God's will is done, make certain your motivation is proper. Make sure your heart is pure when you pray. James chapter 4, we are told that if we ask the Lord for those things that we only want to spend on our own pleasures, we will not receive anything from the Lord. Remember, James 5, verse 16, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. It's about a righteous heart. It's about a pure heart. It's about praying, not my will, but thine be done. When we pray, we need to make certain that our hearts are right with God. The second thing he teaches, verse 1 through 5 of this same passage, is the misuse of prayer. He said, "Beware practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they might be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full." There's a warning here about praying in public, to be noticed by men. Our focus can easily become on the surroundings rather than the Savior. There's also a warning here about praying for personal gain, praying for the sake of and in the spirit of pride, so that we might be honored by men, to be seen and noticed by men. A church I served many years ago, a prominent deacon came to me and told me in private, "Don't ever call on me to pray in public. I just can't do it. I get too scared." You see, he forgot why we pray. When you and I pray, we must get the old man, the flesh, out of the way. It's not about us. It's about the Lord. And of course, the Lord gives a warning here about plentiful words in verse 7. "And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words." Notice here the phrase, "many words." If we are not careful, our prayers can become meaningless repetition. It's not how much you say when you pray that matters. It's the spirit of your heart when we pray. I've heard some pray in King James English as if to use the language of the Bible makes our prayer more spiritual. How silly is that? In a revival meeting during an offertory prayer time some years ago, a prayer was said that spoke of revival and how folks needed to be saved around the world. And I spoke up and said, "Amen." And you know, that man praying that prayer, my amen startled him. And he lost his place. And he had to start from the beginning to repeat this poem that somehow he had learned, saying, "Poems is not praying." It was comical, but sad to think that a man's prayer life had been relegated to learning a poem. There's also a warning here about the stewardship of prayer. You and I will be held accountable for how and what we pray. Notice in verse 1, "You will have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." Verse 2, "They have their reward in full." Verse 4, "The Father will repay you." Verse 5, "Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full." Verse 6, "Your Father who sees in secret will repay you." Notice here, God is keeping an account. He's keeping an account of every idle word, as the scripture says. Every word that is spoken in prayer. Here's a caution. Beloved, be careful when you pray. He's keeping a record of what we pray. And next we have verse 9 through 13, the message of prayer. He said, "Pray in this way." Verse 9, listen to the word, "Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." We all know this. Many times we've learned it and said it corporately in our worship services. We've seen it etched on certain types of jewelry, certain places. We know this as the Lord's Prayer. But in it, he is actually teaching us how to pray. The first thing that he says is that there is a direction in prayer. Our prayers must be to the Father. Which Father? The one whose name is hallowed. The one who is holy. There's only one who is holy. Don't you ever run into the throne room irreverently, half-heartedly. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, is holy. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Well, Dr. Randall, why is it so important to pray in Jesus' name?
You know what's interesting? I had a church ask me to come to preach a series of revival meetings some time back, and they were in a dispute. It was a large church, and they were in a dispute about what name they ought to be praying to, whether it's the Father, whether it's the Son, or whether it's the Holy Spirit. And they were fighting over this. Now, I want to tell you, that's silly. We understand that God is one God, and He is Father, He is Son, and He is Holy Spirit. How silly it is to argue about these matters. Let's look at what the Bible has to say concerning these matters. The Father knows what you need before you ask of Him. We pray to the Father, our Creator, our loving Heavenly Father. Matthew 7:7-11, pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Why in Jesus' name? Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except by me. It is only through the shed blood of Calvary that sinners can come into the presence of Holy God. Why do we pray to the Father? He's the only one who can fully meet our every need. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory. Not our riches, His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Everything belongs to Him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He is all-powerful. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Ephesians 3:20. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. 1 John 5:14. There is no other name. No matter how sincere a person is, no matter how pietistic his approach is to prayer, no matter how many hours he spends in prayer, there is only one prayer that the Heavenly Father hears, and that's the prayer that's prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. What a truth! It's almost beyond comprehension, and yet so profoundly simple. The name of Jesus is beyond, above, and greater than any other name in all the heavens and earth. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name. Philippians 2:9. What does that mean to those of us who have put our faith in Him? What does the exalted name of Jesus have to do with those of us who have already been saved? What is there about that name? Number one, hear the message today. We preach in His name, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name to all the nations. Luke 24:47. The preaching of the gospel of Christ carries with it an authority unlike any other message. When the sweet story of God's redeeming love revealed in Jesus is shared, the sovereign power of all creation is at work, convicting and changing lives. As the apostles spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, Acts 2:29, we too must proclaim in the name which is above every name. The blessings of our Lord always accompanies the one who comes, here it is, in the name of the Lord, Psalm 118:26 and Luke 13:35. We not only preach in His name, we praise in His name. I will lift up my hands in your name, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips, Psalm 63:4-5. All of our worship and praise belongs to Jesus. He truly is the only one who is worthy of all our praise. In His name we have been saved. In His name we have been healed. In His name we have been delivered. It is in His name we have our very being. All other praise falls pitifully insignificant to the praises given in the name of our Lord Jesus. I will praise You, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Your name forevermore. Psalm 86, verse 12. In our music, it must be Christ who is exalted. It must never be about the song or the one who sings or plays. It must forever be in the name of our Savior. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 5:20. And of course, we pray in His name. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, John 14:13-14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it, John 16:23-24. We have the promise of our Savior that God answers the prayer offered in Jesus' name. Praying in Jesus' name invokes the authority of all heaven and earth. It is in Jesus' name God's will has and is being done. It is in Jesus' name that all authority resides. It is in Jesus' name our prayers become linked to the power of the sovereign God of the universe. That's why God's healing comes only in Jesus' name. James 5:14, listen to the word today. And yes, victory over the evil one and his schemes of deception and death is in the name of Jesus. Luke 10, verse 17, and Acts 16, verse 18. It is in the name of the Lord Jesus that we come into the presence of Almighty God. We participate in His name. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Matthew 18:20. Oh, how we must listen to the words of our Lord. Every time we come together as the church, we must do all that we do. Hear it. In the name of Jesus. His meeting us and blessing us is contingent on our coming together in His name. If we come in the name of our preachers, if we come in the name of our programs, if we come in the name, any other name but the name of the Lord Jesus, we can be assured that we will not see the power of God. Every act of worship must be offered in the name of the Lord Jesus. Every dollar must be given in Jesus' name. Every brick must be laid only to glorify the name of Jesus. Every heart must be committed to exalt first and foremost the precious, precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How empty and futile is the service of the church when she exalts herself instead of her Savior. Listen to the Word of God today, 2 Thessalonians 1:11-12, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him. Oh, listen, it is in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, pray this way, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name.
Well, Dr. Randall, that's a perfect place right there to end our program today since we're out of time. But how fitting it is to pray now in Jesus' name. Will you do that for us?
Make an altar right where you are. Would you humble yourself? The Lord will not humble you. That's our responsibility. Just humble yourself before Him right now as we go into the throne room of heaven. In Jesus' name. Lord, I lift up to You my brother and sister, their need today. Lord, there are some who are lonely, who feel abandoned, who are struggling with their faith. Lord, I lift them up to You. I ask You, Lord Jesus, to receive our petitions, our hurts, our wounds. our need of healing, our need of deliverance, our need of salvation. Lord, I ask that you would receive us now through the mediator that you have given, our Lord Jesus Christ. We come to you in that name. We don't come to you in the name of Baptist or Assembly of God or Charismatic or Episcopalian or Presbyterian. We come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we appeal to your mercy seat in that name. Lord, I ask you that you would just pour your blood over my brother and sister now. Heal them. Heal the wounds. Go to those places, Lord Jesus. Pour your blood over their wounds until they are healed. And I ask that you would do it for your glory. Lord, we have no argument. We would not debate you at any level. You are Lord. Your word is true. You are the righteous judge. Forgive us where we have failed. Forgive us where we have trusted our own thinking and in our own ways. Lord, I ask that you would come. Those that need to know that they are born again, I ask you, Lord, to give them the faith to turn to you today. Would you pray this prayer with me right where you are? Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. That's right, pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I know that you loved me because you died for me. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. And Lord, for that one who is struggling with addictions, the one who does not believe that anybody loves them, Lord, I ask that you would meet them in that place of loneliness and sorrow, discouragement. And I ask you, Lord, that you would give them the courage to crawl into your lap and let Abba Father love on them in a way that they've never known. Lord, baptize them in the love of our Heavenly Father. And I pray this in the mighty, matchless, wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Now, if you prayed with me today, I'd love to hear from you. Please contact us. Go to our website, theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. Let us know of your prayer concerns. Let us know how we can serve you. Or you can call us toll-free, 1-877-808-8886. That's toll-free, 1-877-808-8886.
Thank you, Rob. And remember, it is through your faithfully standing with us that we're able to bring the invisible war to you and to the many hurting and wounded among us. If you've been blessed by this program, would you give us as generous a gift as our Lord would lead you to give? You can make your investment into this ministry by going to our website, theinvisiblewar.org, or call us toll-free, 877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. If you don't have access to a computer, you can send your letters in support to Rob Randall Evangelistic Ministries, P.O. Box 5, McKinney, Texas, 75070. That's P.O. Box 5, McKinney, Texas, 75070. We look forward to hearing from you. Please do it today. We have heard from so many of you over the last several months of how this program has ministered to your life. You have heard the incredible teaching on spiritual warfare from Dr. Randall, as well as many personal testimonies from very special guests. But we want to hear from many more of you. We would love to hear how God has transformed your life and how you have faced the enemy with boldness to conquer his destructive schemes. We want to share some of these stories of victory by reading some of them on the air, or even the possibility of having you join us as a very special guest in an upcoming broadcast. Your story may be exactly what other listeners need to hear to turn the corner and begin to apply the same valuable principles that Rob shares on a regular basis. Write your story and send it to us by email at askrob@theinvisiblewar.org. Or you can send your letters to The Invisible War, P.O. Box 5, McKinney, Texas, 75070. You can also go to our website at theinvisiblewar.org and go to the Contact Us section and find an option that works best for you to send it to us. Your story of healing and victory may be just the exact message others need to hear to find the same victory in their lives. So email us today with yours. That's askrob@theinvisiblewar.org.
Thank you for listening, and thank you for the sweet privilege that has been ours to share with you about these eternal matters of heaven on The Invisible War.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcast information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.